sobering song. I certainly appreciate it this morning. I want to echo what Pastor David said about the leadership conference. I certainly enjoyed it and got some help myself from the conference, and I'm thankful for good, strong leadership that goes to work here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I appreciate each one that participates in the leadership of the work here. You have your Bible open to James chapter number 1. As I was sitting there taking in the truth of the song, I thought about how good it was to see Kirsten back on the piano. God bless you, Kirsten. Good to see people do what they desire to do, isn't it? Amen. We're a blessed people. Never take your blessings for granted. Oh, now, preacher, I won't do that. Well, I hope you don't. But now we're liable to. We may just do that. And I pray that God would help us to be mindful of His blessing and of His goodness to us, the opportunities that He gives. One day, the window of opportunity will close in certain areas of our service, and we will have to shift gears and maybe change the way we go about ministry. It could be our age. It could be our health. There's other situations that it could be. So as you serve the Lord, serve Him with gladness, realizing that it's an opportunity that God has given you to make a difference in the lives of someone else. Because we never know, brethren, we never know when that opportunity may cease. And so we praise God for the opportunity to serve Him. We serve a great God.
Amen.
And I just praise the Lord for His greatness and His goodness. There's a couple of truths that I want to bring to your attention this morning. We have been looking at what saith the Scripture, and I wrote a few things down that I'd like to share with you. What saith the Scriptures about the Scripture? We've been talking about that. What's the Bible say about the Bible? I wrote down just a few things. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Bible is the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and James chapter 1 that the Word of God is like a seed that is able to save our souls. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 23 that the Bible is like a fire that refines our hearts. It says in Jeremiah chapter 23 that the Bible is like a hammer that convicts our soul. In Psalm 119, the Bible says that the Scripture is like a lamp and a light that guides our path. The Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 55 that the Bible is like rain and snow that refreshes our spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that the Scriptures is like a sword that pierces and discerns in the innermost parts of our being. The Scriptures say that the Bible is like gold in Psalm 19 that enriches our lives. The Scriptures say that the Bible is like food. It's like bread in Matthew chapter number 4. It's like milk in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's like honey in Psalm 19.
Amen.
I thank God for the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible has literally changed my life.
Amen. Amen.
Everything that I am that's good, I owe to God and the Bible.
Amen.
Everything that I hope to be in the heaven that I know I'm going to, I owe to God and the Bible.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible helps me in every step of the walk of this life that God has given me.
Amen.
You know, when I look into the Bible not only says all of these things that I mentioned, but as we look into James chapter 1 in these scripture, we find that the Bible is like a mirror. Now, we know what a mirror is. Look, if you would, in verse number 23, the latter part of that verse says that when we look into the Word, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It's like looking in a mirror when you're looking into the Bible. I want to talk to you a little bit out of these verses, and I hope it'll give you some encouragement to continue to look to your Bible. And not only just look to your Bible, but to practice what you see when you look into it. You see, many people will approach the Bible scientifically. And can I tell you that it is scientifically accurate?
Amen.
Many people will approach the Bible historically. The Bible is historically accurate.
Amen.
Many people will approach the Bible analytically. And all that you hope to find and all the reason and logic that you're looking for to the keys to the answer of life, not only in this life but the one to come, the Bible has the answer.
Amen.
But we're not just to approach the Bible in these ways, though that there's nothing wrong to approaching the Bible in these ways. We are to approach the Bible not just so we can know or hear or learn or teach or share. We're approaching the Bible so that we can do. So that we can read what the Scripture says and know what the Scripture says and learn what the Scripture says so that we can make practical, personal application to our lives to carry out the instruction and the commandment of the Bible. God wants me to live what's in the Bible. God wants you to live what's in the Bible. Say, preacher, I'm fascinated by the Bible. You'll be more fascinated when you begin to obey it. Preacher, I'm intrigued with the Bible. You'll be more intrigued when you begin to practice it. You see, the Bible is just not a book that we look to be wowed by. The Bible is the book that we look to be changed by. God wants to make change in our lives, and God knows we all need change in our life. There's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice, and your pastor included. Brethren, we need God to do something in our hearts and lives to make us a better version of what He created us to be. Sin has come into our lives and it's really wrecked us and it's ruined us and it's broke us. But can I tell you, God's in the mending business. God's in the mending business. Say, I don't need any help, preacher. You need help worse than you realize. If that's your attitude. And so I pray that as we allow God's Word to speak to us today, that you'll get some help. How can the Bible help me? Well, in many ways. But today I want to zero in on just a few out of these verses of Scripture. Before we get into this, I have to caution all of us. I want to be cautioned. It is so easy to sit and hear the Bible preached and hear what God says and to start thinking about, you know what? This person needs that, or this family needed that, or boy, if so-and-so would have been here. Can I tell you, I'm preaching to you. You say, who, preacher? You. Who is that, you? You need to hear this message. That's why God has you here. You need change in your life. You need change in your life. Please don't think about your neighbor. Listen, notice what James said here in verse number 26. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious. In other words, if you have the opinion of yourself, I'm it, you're the one who needs this. Most. We all need it. But if it is your opinion of yourself that you are something, then you need this. It's just so easy for us, isn't it? That when we begin to think about people who need instruction and who need change and who need help, we think about other people. I want to think about me. I need God to bring change in my life. And you need God to bring change in your life. So for this moment in time, could we just think about us? You say, preacher, you're always telling us to think of others, and now you're telling us to think of us. Well, just in this moment in time, I'm going to ask you, as we heard yesterday, not to look out the window and see the need of others, but look in the mirror and see the need that you have. Would you just do that as we look in the mirror? Let's see what God says here. I find where James is a do man. Do seems to be his word. Here in verse number 22, it says, but be ye doers. I told you last time that we were in James chapter 1 a couple of weeks ago that the word but is very interesting. It's not and, be ye doers, but it's but. Now, but, and I'm not going to get all grammatical on you here, but I want you to understand why James uses this word. But is a conjunction. The function of a conjunction. Don't get me started on singing that song. The function of a conjunction is to join thoughts or sentences. And many times they're equal in their structure. This is what's called a contrast conjunction, a contrasting conjunction. It's not this, but this. All right? It's different. It's like the word although. But, James says, but be ye doers. In other words, he's been speaking to us about, in verse 19, about being swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, as it centers around the Word of God. And he says, you know what? You ought to hear. Now, some people read verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You need to hear so you can do. And so that's why he said, but. You need to hear, but that's not the end. That's a means to the end. Right? You need to hear, but hearing is not all there is. Now you have to carry out what you hear. And so he said, but. It's the same structure that the Apostle Paul used in Ephesians 5. And be not drunk with wine, verse 18, wherein is excess. Now listen carefully. But be ye. Is that what he said? But be ye doers. Paul said, but be ye filled with the Spirit. There's a continuous action. So, preacher, I got filled with the Spirit one time. I hope you got filled with the Spirit more than one time. It's a continuous action. You following me? But be ye filled. But be ye being filled continuously. Why? We're leaky vessels. Right? You need to continuously be being filled with the Spirit. And he says here, James, Paul said, be ye being filled. Be ye continuously being filled. Look what James said. Same sentence structure. Same sentence structure. But be ye being doers of the word. Keep doing the word. Just keep doing the word. Just keep doing the word. That's what makes the difference. See, we think, I just need to keep hearing the word. And thank God for that. I just need to keep listening to preaching. And thank God for that. I just need to keep reading my Bible. And thank God for that. I just need to keep learning what the Bible says. And thank God for that. But James said, no, you need to be being doers of the word. As you hear, just keep being doers. Listen, there'll be times you'll hear and you'll say, I'm going to do it. And then you'll go out and you won't do it. James said, don't quit there. Just keep on doing. Amen. Just keep picking up. Just keep picking up the baton. Just keep picking up the truth and say, I'm going to do it. I didn't do what I said I was going to do. And I let God down. I let myself down. I let my brethren down. But I'm by the grace of God, I'm going to keep on keeping on doing God's word. That's why he said, look, if you would, in verse number 25, if you would. I'm sorry. It's verse number, let me find it here. It is 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, look at that next phrase, and continueth therein. Just continue on. You say, preacher, I heard a message and I promised God I was going to do something, and I did it for a day or two or a month or a period of months, but now I've done fallen back. What's James saying? Just continue on. Just keep hearing the word. Just keep learning the word. Just keep practicing the word. Don't quit. Don't give up. This old flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit is wrestling against the flesh. There's a war going on, and don't you quit in the war. Don't you give up on what God has for your life. He said, don't you give up. You just keep on keeping on doing the word. Say, I want a blessing. Well, I'm going to tell you how you can leave here today with a blessing on your life. I want you to be blessed. But more importantly than I want you to be blessed, and more importantly than you want to be blessed, God wants to bless you. How can that happen, preacher? Look at it. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You know, I just love that phrase. Thank God, God's word is perfect.
Amen.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I'm so thankful that the Bible that we have is perfect, brethren. Perfect. And that's why it goes to work in our lives. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law, I like this, of liberty. You're talking about contrast, law, liberty. Most people, when they think of law, they think of restraint, right? They think of restraint. But here, he's saying God's law brings freedom. It brings deliverance. It gives liberty. Aren't you glad for the law of liberty? The perfect law of liberty. It sets you free, brethren. The word of God sets you free. Oh, would to God that Christians would get a hold of this and realize the more that I take the Word of God in, and the more that I practice, and the more I put it into use, God's Word is just setting me free. Young people, listen. The devil and the world will tell you that the church wants to handcuff you and that God wants to restrain you, but that's what sin does. Sin does that. God sets you free, amen. You get in the Bible will set you free. The truth will make you free, and he that is free through the Son of God is free indeed. Free, brethren, free. In a world that's handcuffed and restrained and looking for liberty and looking for deliverance, I'm here to tell you that God can give it through his word. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work. Look at this last phrase. This man shall be blessed. So I want to be blessed. You stay in this book. You continue in this way. You put to practice the teachings and the precepts and the statutes and the judgments of this book. God will set you free. And God will bless you in your work. You say, what work? Well, just fill in the blank. Your home will be all that it should be for the glory of God. You'll reach your fullest potential and your aspirations and the things that you desire to do in life and the will of God. You'll please the Lord, and you'll have a good will toward men. See, the Word of God does this for us. The Word of God. James said, I want you to, verse 22, understand you need to be a doer of the word. But be ye doers. You say, preacher, I haven't been doing as I should. Well, then don't you quit now. Because when you read that, it says, but be ye being doers. Right? You say, well, I haven't been doing like I should be doing in the word. Well, it's not too late. God will still help you. Amen? God will still take you to that next level. Don't you let the devil tell you, well, God's through with you. Listen, if God were through with you, you wouldn't be here today. See, God has something for us, brethren. And the devil's doing everything he can to keep it from us. But the only way that can happen is if we allow it. If we allow it. Don't allow the devil, don't allow the enemy to keep from you what God has for you. And God help me not to do so as well. But be ye doers of the word. Doers. It's James' word. Let's just take a look at a few things that he says about doing. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. Look at verse number 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Verse 25, but whoso looketh unto the law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. In chapter number 2, if you'll look at verse number 17, he said, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. You see that? What's James saying here? Hey, listen, it's not what you say, it's what you do. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Verse number 18, yea, of chapter 2, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by what I do, my works. Right? See, James is a doer. He said, faith puts you to doing things. God's word prompts you to doing. That's why he said in chapter 1 and verse number 25, he said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, you stay in this book, and this book will get you to doing some things. Amen. 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 God is a God of activity, and God's word will make us people of activity. Amen. It'll make us doers. That's why you just can't take a casual glance, and we'll get into that in just a moment. We just can't take a casual glance into the mirror. And we've all done this. You know, we stood in front of the mirror and just took a glance, and then we just, you know, we didn't look close. When you look close, you see things. But then maybe we get distracted, right? And then somebody has to tell us, hey, looks like you got some toothpaste there. Or some spit up there. Remember those days, men? You go to work, you thought, I think I'll hold little Junior before I go to work. I'm going to shake him a little bit. And he deposited, he made a deposit, and you went to work, and you got to smelling something. You thought, man, why? And then you get to work, and somebody said, hey, what's that stuff? What's that? Looks like cottage cheese on your shirt there. Right? Because we just glance, and maybe we get distracted. And that's what he's saying. When in verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I forgot. I looked and I said, man, I need to shave. And then my wife says, hey, Dale, breakfast is ready. Shaving can wait. Hey, man, you know what I'm talking about. You smelled that bacon before before she said that, and you were just waiting for the call. And then you get a little distracted and you think, well, I'll shave after 8. But then you don't. And then you realize I didn't shave. That's what James is saying. See, When we hear the word, God is doing a work in our heart, that's when we do business with God. There's people that will sit on the church service and God will smite them in the heart through the preaching and the teaching of the word. And they'll say, you know what, I'm going to get that right this afternoon. I'm going to find me a place and get along with God and talk to God about that. The time to do business with God is when he speaks to you. Amen. Listen. We need to be so sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. God speaks to us. We need to pull over and make it right. Brother, I'm talking about immediate obedience. Dealing with it right then. James said, listen, you'll be a forgetful hearer now if you're not careful. Say, preacher, I have good intentions. I know most people in the congregation this morning, I would say fairly well, if not very well. And I believe every person on the sound of my voice that I know that way, I believe you have good intentions. But can I tell you, good intentions is just not good enough. And that includes me, you, it's all of us. God's looking for good works. God's looking for doers of the word. Doers. Look in chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 of James. Look at verse number 11. James uses that word again. Chapter 4, verse number 11. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not, look at this, a doer of the law. You need to be doing the law, not judging the law. Why? James said, be a doer. James is interested in what we do, not what we say. Why do you think James is that way? Look at verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to what? Do good. And what? Doeth it not. What do you mean, James? James said, I'm a doer. I'm an action man. God's looking for some people that will do some things, not talk about it. Say, preacher, I'll talk about the Bible all day long. Thank God, but when are you going to start doing some of it? And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, hey, if we're not careful, we'll be people that talk about it instead of do it. So I heard that message. Good preaching. Well, how much of it have you done? How good was it? Was it good enough to force you to and move you to do something? Man, we can sit around and talk about what the Bible teaches all day, but until we start living it and acting on it, it's really not going to make a difference in our lives or in the lives of others. And so for that cause, James is writing, as we go back to chapter 1, and he said, be ye doers, but be ye doers of the word. Can I encourage you this morning? By the grace of God, let's be doers of the word. Let's put into practice what we know. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll try to show off what little knowledge we have of the Bible, and we'll be proud of what we know, when what we really need to be is be humbled by what we do. Oh, preacher, I got my Bible all marked up. I'm marking mine too. But I need to get more concerned about my Bible marking me than me marking my Bible. Somebody say amen with me now. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And this is for all of us. It's just so easy to just look at verse 26 of chapter 1 to seem religious. See, James used that word on purpose. Religious is an outward showing of a possible inward work. And it's just so easy to have that outward appearance of something. And James said, now, if you seem to others to be something, or if you have an opinion of yourself to be that, that's one thing. But don't stop there. Don't look in verse 26. Don't deceive your own heart. Is that what he said? I tell you, James getting down where the rubber meets the road. Well, God's just speaking it through him is what he's doing. Really, this is James, but God's saying, James, I want you to write this. I want my people to be doers and not just hearers only. And so let's be doers. What's that going to do for us, preacher? Let me give you a few quick things here I think will help you. So James said, I want you to be a doer and not a hearer only. That word hearer there, chapter 1, verse 22. See that word hearer? I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, and I think I mentioned this in one of the previous messages. I'm sure it did. That word hearer there means auditor. You know, the audio, right? You have your video, you have your audio. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't be an auditor. If you've ever audited a class, you know what that involves. You have no responsibility. You don't really plan on doing the work. You're just sitting in on the class. You're not engaged in the class work. You're not responsible to do the class work. You're just an auditor. You're just sitting in listening. Out of interest. And this is what James is saying. Don't be that way. Don't just be an auditor of the word. Sign up for the class, amen. Be accountable. Be responsible. I'm listening so I can do. Right? That's what he's saying. Be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look at verse number 23. This is what James does. And he said, I want to do something. He said, I want to take these two groups of people. I want to take my hearers only and my doers, and I want to talk to you about them. And so if you look in verse number 23, he said, for if any be, look at this next phrase, a hearer of the word. If you write in your Bible, underline that. If you don't, just pay close attention to what he said here. If any be a hearer of the word, he said, I want to talk to you. If you're just hearing only and not a doer. And then in verse number 25, he said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Now look at this next phrase, but a doer of the work. And he said, so here's what I want to do. I want to talk about the hearer of the word, only, and a doer of the work. You see what he did there? He said, I want to contrast them. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He said, I want to contrast them. And so he said, I want to talk to those that are just hearers of the word only. In verse 23, you see it? And then he said, I want to address those that are doers of the work. Because there's different results. He said, if you're just a hearer only in verse number 23 and not a doer, well, you're like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. You just kind of look, but nothing changes. Look at verse 24. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgot to do something about what he saw. Right? You with me, brethren? You see how important it is to do what we hear in God's word? Because if we don't, we're just going with life. And there's a lot of Christian people. Please hear me now. Maybe even somebody here today. I don't know. Maybe somebody watching live stream. I don't know what's in people's hearts. As a pastor, I've dealt with dozens and dozens, if not hundreds and hundreds of people in these 35 plus years of ministry. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of frustrated Christians out there. They're saved, brethren, just like you're saved, just like I'm saved. But they're frustrated. They're discouraged. They don't have a very good lookout on life. You know why? Because they've been a hearer all their life and not a doer. And after a while, that gets frustrating. When you hear over and over and over and over again, and you see it in other people's life, that God's word can make a change in your life, but you're waiting for that change to come into your life, you begin to wonder, why me? Why am I not changing? I see people stand up and testify that God's doing this in their life, and God's doing this in their family, and God's doing this in their business, and God's doing this in their home. Why is God not doing it in my life? Well, maybe because they're doers and you're here. I don't know. Very well could be. I've just talked with many, many people through the years who are just waiting on this change to come into their life, but they're waiting, brethren, listen, fruitlessly, because it's not going to come until we begin to do the Word of God and not just hear it. Amen. God help me and God help you. Frustrated Christians, discouraged, downcast, feeble, weak, because they haven't taken their Christianity and their walk with God to the next level, to where they begin to put into practice what they've heard and what they've learned. You say, well, that's not me, preacher. Well, we're going to give you a test in a minute and let you see. Because, you see, I think we've all been there before. A doer and not just a hearer. I want to give you three things before I get to the final test, and we'll close. Would you write these down? What will God's word as a mirror do for my life? There's three things the Bible says that God's word as a mirror should do. God's word as a mirror is referred to three times in the Bible. I'm not going to turn there. Just want to give you the references. I'm going to give you what it'll do for you. Right here's the first one. Number one, if I'm reading this as James wrote it, I am. He said, the mirror is for examination. You look into that mirror in verse number 23, and you behold your natural face in a glass. You see that? Why? Because you examine yourself and you see what needs to be fixed, what needs to be changed. So you look into the mirror. You say, preacher, when I look in the mirror, I don't look there to see what needs to be fixed. I look there to see how pretty I am. Well, hopefully, even when you're doing that, you'll see some things need to be changed. Examination. I think we all know that the mirror is for examination. God's word is for examination. God's word will examine us. Number two, don't turn there. Exodus 38 in verse number 8 speaks about restoration, because it speaks about how that when Moses told those chief artisans to build the laver, the basin, the laver for the tabernacle furnishings, he said, I want you to take the looking glasses, and that's the word he uses there in Exodus 38, of the women, and I want you to mold them into a fashion and make this brass basin with a pedestal so that You can see yourself in that brass, but he said, I want you to put water in it so you can wash yourself. So the Bible's just not for examination, it's for restoration, right? You know where the labor was? Listen to me, brethren. God wants to teach us something. There's the brazen altar where the sacrifice was laid. Over there's the holy place where God resides and where man makes his way to God. And there must be a sacrifice, but between that sacrifice that is to be made, which ultimately is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where God is, where man needs to get to God, God said, I want you to put a laver between them. Because from where that sacrifice is made and where you get to God, he said, there's going to be some dirt get on you. And though the sacrifice will clean you eternally, you need that daily cleansing. And Ephesians chapter 5 says, by the washing of the laver, by the washing of the water, by the word. And so the word of God is for examination. The word of God is for restoration. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible teaches that the word of God is for the looking glass. That looking glass, it's for transformation. That when we look into the word of God, it transforms us. But it doesn't transform us into a good Christian we know, or a good godly grandmother, or a good godly parents or spouse. It transforms us into the image of he that is the greatest of all, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's God's will for all of our lives. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal. So look into the laver. Look into the mirror, right? Examination. Let God's word examine you. Number two, restoration. Let God's word cleanse you. Number three, transformation. Let God's word change you. Amen. Now let's close with this. Say, preacher, I think I'm allowing that to happen. Well, good. I thank God for that. Just keep on doing it. But be ye being doers. Just keep on. Amen. Can I encourage you just to keep on being doers of the word? Praise the Lord. Just keep on. If you're not, could I invite you to begin? Not just to be a hearer, be a doer too. Okay? You say, well, I think I'm doing that. Well, let's just see what James, he gives us a quick test. And we'll just do it quickly. I'm going to close here, but I'm going to do it just quickly. So he said, let's see if that's what you're doing. He said, now if you're being a, he said, I want to address those hearers in verse 23 and 24. Then in verse 25, he said, but a doer of the work, if you're a doer of the work, I want to address those doers now. He said, you'll be blessed. Are you blessed? You say, preacher, I don't know if I'm blessed or not. You're not blessed. When you're blessed, you know you're blessed. Amen. You'll tell anybody that'll listen, I'm blessed. Amen. And you'll tell some people that don't want to listen. You'll be telling everybody you meet, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God's good to me. Amen. God's the greatest thing ever happened to me. Amen. I like me when God's involved. I don't like me when God's not involved. I'm blessed. God is good. Amen. When you're blessed, you know it. He said, you that do the word, you're going to be blessed in your deed. God's going to bless you. You say, well, how would I know if I'm just a hearer or doer? Well, look at verse 26 and 27. Let me give you three quick things here. Number one, he said, if you are a doer of the word now, you will bridle your tongue. So I'm a hearer and a doer. Let me ask you a question. Is your tongue bridled? I'm just going to tell you what James said. I'm just telling you what God said here. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but there's our contrast in conjunction again. We're going to contrast vain religion and pure religion. Vain religion will fool you. You'll think you're okay with that vain religion. But then there's pure religion. Pure religion brings change. You won't be just saying anything like you did before you started doing God's word. God's word will put us in check. Is that right, brother? Amen. Amen. Boy, it got quiet in here. You say, well, I'm trying to bridle my tongue. Okay. I'm just telling you what God said. We can sit around all day saying that I got that doer's religion. I'm doing it. I got that pure stuff. I'm doing the Word of God. Well, now, if your tongue's not bridled, James said, you might ought to check up. You might just seem to be. You might just have the opinion that you are. Preacher, you might just have the opinion that you are if you just say anything to anybody in any way. Have to bridle your tongue if the Word of God is active in our lives. That's number one thing in verse number 26. Look at verse 27. He said, not only that, but that pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father. It's this, to visit the fathers and the widows in their affliction. Who are you visiting? He said, I'm a doer of the Word. Whose life are you impacting? I'm not just a hearer. I have you to know. I'm a Christian. Well, okay, great. Praise the Lord. Whose life are you impacting? Who'd you visit this past week? Who'd you show compassion to? So that's what James is saying. You notice who he said? He didn't just choose anybody randomly. The Holy Ghost laid a specific group of people on his heart. Widows and orphans, fatherless. They can't do anything to pay you back. If you do it, you're going to have to do it realizing I'm doing this for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. I'm not doing this to get a pat on the back or to receive something in return. I'm doing this because I love people and I want to help people. That's what pure religion will do for you. That's what you'll be doing when you start doing God's word instead of just hearing it. You'll make a difference in the people's lives that can't make a difference in yours. I'm just telling you what God said. Well, I'm not really visiting many people. I'm not investing in people's lives. You might want to look in the mirror again then. And this time, slow down and let that mirror examine you. And let that water wash some things away and transform to where you'll have the love of Jesus in your heart and you'll go out as Jesus went out to make a difference in people's lives. And then finally, the doers of the religion, as we stand to our feet, will stay unspotted from the world. Isn't that what the book says? Verse 27? It is. Say, preacher, this message was going along real good until you gave us the test. Well, I'm trying to help us to be real. It's just so easy to come to a Bible-believing church and hear Bible preaching service after service in every Sunday school class. No matter who's preaching behind this pulpit, we're going to open up this black back book, the old King James Bible, and preach the word. And if we're not careful, we'll get so accustomed to that, we'll just become hearers and think, well, we're in good shape. We sat in church and said amen today. Well, now, if you're not doing some things that you're hearing, like, right? Bridling your tongue. Somebody comes up, what do you think about old so-and-so? Well, wait a minute now, we might not go in that direction. I have a feeling the bridle's fixing to come out. Hey, did you hear? Ooh, think the bridle's getting ready to come out. Very easy. And then somebody comes to me and says, you know, I seen so-and-so yesterday and their family's really low. I don't even think they have food in the cupboards. Now, James didn't say this. John did. He said, you know, if you see, man, your brother have need, and you have to give, and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? We don't love in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. Deed. What do you mean, preacher? Do. Word. Here, deed, do. We need to be helping people. We need to be ministering to people. Thank God. See, that's where the test is. And then we need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Let's bow our heads together. The Word of God makes the difference, brethren.